Banyugani, everyone. This is Professor Amon-Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, and former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees. Also a professor and administrator for Compton Community College. We want to welcome you to the Conscious Corner. Tonight, we're going to do a roundtable discussion on should Black people vote. Second, we're going to talk about Kyrie Irving and Kanye West and their comments that it's costing them a lot of money and a lot of condemnation, degradation, and deprivation. So we're going to discuss that. Before we get started, I want to also let you know my co-host, Joe Hembrick, will be joining us soon, who is a former teacher, administrator for the Linwood Unified School District and Compton Unified School District, longtime administrator, and the first head Black football coach for the Linwood Unified School District. But above all, a serious student of our history and one who take pride in following Malcolm's quotes that history is the one science that rewards all research. So Brother Hembrick constantly embodies that. And so we're going to get started. Me and the good doctor had already started. Rashiki, could you want to play that when we get to that point? But we could start with why Blacks should vote. And then when we get to Kyrie, and then you can play that.
Okay.
All right. So, Doc, first of all, Doc, you had already said that your position is, and you can explain your own position. I don't want to put words in your mouth. Well, what was yours, Doc, about voting?
My issue was just people that's running, man, they're not saying nothing I like. You know, so why should I vote if they're not saying nothing I like? Mm-hmm. You know, that was a question I brought to a couple of other people. Another one was, do you vote? And that thing I asked you before, do you vote for the interests of Blacks or do you vote for the interests of your own? But
sometimes you vote with other groups if you agree with the issue. There's a difference between a coalition and an alliance. According to some researchers, a coalition is a short relationship based on a common interest, whereas an alliance is a long-time commitment, whereas you have shared respect, benefit, and shared support. And so, that's the difference between a coalition and an alliance. But there are many issues that you may agree on, and even some whites vote for, as a Black person, that you may vote the same way they vote. You vote for your interests, and you vote for people that you think are going to push policy and other concerns that would benefit your people, or directly or indirectly benefit you. But go ahead, Doc.
Hey, let me give you one example. You know, I dabble in the stock market. And I'm going to use Trump as an example. If Trump was to run and say he's going to do away with capital gains, oh, man, I got to go for that. Because that would help me out a lot in my life, in my family's life. We all trade, we all in the stock market. Yeah. With capital gains, some little tax stuff, that will help me out. So will I be wrong? Although he may harm Blacks as a group, but I would fare. No, in most, some sense. So how would that work? How does that sound, man? I don't
10% of Black people, African American, black people are Republican, straight out. And they vote economic issue. Many of them make over $500,000 a year. So they will vote for lower taxes on their capital gains and their investments and their interest. People do that. That's why you have 10%. Majority of black people are African-Americans. Don't worry about capital gain because there's a small percentage of them that own homes so that they can sell them and get capital gain. Very few invest in the stock market. We don't have a middle class. We have a working class and an economic class. But in order to have a black middle class, you need a black top class that produced the middle class. Most blacks that are middle class are making sufficient money. Either work for whites or whites invest in their projects, their music, their acting. And that's how they do it because there's no top. There's just a middle income, but there's not no middle class. There are black people that identify with the middle class whites, but they're not produced by black people. Very few black people pay salaries to make people rich or to make people middle class with regards to company. There are some that do. I wouldn't doubt that Jay-Z have a black manager or black financial manager. I wouldn't doubt that some professional athletes, some actors, entertainers, and some business people do have that kind of income. Like yourself, you know, you own property, you're very into economics and stocks and those things. But the average African-American, they're dealing with day-to-day bread, kitchen table issues. But go ahead.
And the other one was, I see they spend all this time and energy trying to get, convince 45 million blacks to vote instead of, spend a lot of energy just finding a dozen people to run on some solid, solid stuff for blacks, man. Why is that? More energy on trying to get 45 million people, 45 million blacks to vote instead of just finding a dozen few Democrats or Republicans run on black issues, strictly black issues.
Yeah, it's very difficult to get somebody to run on strictly black issues. Because there's not enough black people on a national level for federal positions, such as United States Senator or Congressperson. A Congress district encompasses majority whites, even in LA. We're only 10% of Los Angeles. So when you run for a congressional district, it may go from Florence all the way to Anaheim and Long Beach. Anaheim all the way to Western, over to 120th, back down to Sepulveda, and then all the way back to Florence, and then back down to Alameda and Atlantic. That's a lot of hospitals, a lot of businesses, a lot of corporations that are part there, and unions. And so, therefore, it's hard to run on just a strictly black agenda. Now, you support and you put up money and you lobby people to push your agenda. But it's very difficult because majority of black people don't have the money that many businesses have to spend on politics or lobbying. It's a very challenging thing to compete with people that got billions and millions. And you coming up there with 100,000 or 200,000. And I agree with you. When it comes down to the strategies for politics, we as a people have to do more in studying. But we do vote, already vote as a black, because many of the issues we vote for, we consider our issues and our benefit. But I can't argue with you that we would like to run on a strictly black agenda. We had a black president. We had control of the Senate and Congress. And, you know, he gave a lot of parties. I mean, all of us ended up with the Obama blues because he couldn't get things done because he didn't run as a black person. He ran as a Democrat. And it was the Democratic Party that put him in office, along with our vote. Now, he criticized us. He did things for the gays. He did things for the Latinos. He did things for white farmers. Things for a lot of them. He had parties and blue festival in the White House for us. Gave a bunch of medallions out. But he never pardoned Marcus Garvey. He never did issues as far as crime and giving out pardons for black people that was unjustly imprisoned. You know, so, but he did do some good thing. You know, he risked assassination. And he's trying to set up like chess. You look for the next move. And you anticipate the next move. He belonged to a party that's trying to get other people elected after he's gone. So there's certain limitations he's faced with that the party may not go along with. His own party wouldn't support a lot of the things that he was for. But he did do some things. He cut the deficit. You understand? He kept employment up. He pushed for justice. And when he did, when he supported the professor who got arrested by a policeman for going in his own house, Dr. Gates, I forget his name, but I got
Is it Louis Gates?
Yeah, I remember that. And that was just like the Kyrie thing. They broke him and made him sit down, had a beer gate with the white guy. Man, that was embarrassing, man.
Well, I'm just saying.
Is his name Louis Gates?
Yeah.
Louis Gates, I think it was Louis Gates. I think Brother Joe is here now.
Yeah, good.
That's that Negro's name.
So go ahead, Doc. What else?
No, that was about it. Like I said, just what you said, you know, you got money, you can get your issues pressed. And it just seems like every year, man, you know, we got to go out and vote. We vote. Everybody else get their stuff, man. We help everybody else get their issues. Let them get their bills passed for their rights for every other group. And we're still left holding the empty bag, man, with nothing. Well, like you said, we hope something may trickle down to us, but every 4 years, we get in there, masses, and vote and help other groups.
But that's right. And our people fought for it. Many of our great leaders sacrificed their lives for it. Second, our interest is in elections because those policies and the administration of the distribution of goods and services and the administration of justice is all tied to our interests. So we vote in with anticipation that we can continue to struggle for a better day. As long as you struggle, then you haven't lost. But at the same time, the system will make you think you're not making no progress. We're a long way from shackle state. We're a long way from Reconstruction. We're a long way from the various American issues that had devastating effect on us. Now, there are instances where justice has not prevailed. If we didn't have George Floyd on video, the police had already wrote up that he was attacking them. The same thing with Rodney, that they beat. What's his name, Rodney?
Rodney King.
Rodney King. had beaten the hell out of him. And if it wasn't for the white boy Holiday, they eventually cracked back and arrested for that video. They had written that he was resistant. One cop said he felt threatened because of the grunts he was making. You know, the same thing with Michael Brown, you know, hands up, you know, the people in Ferguson, you know, and the same thing with the brother that they choked out. But before they choked him out in 1979, Larry Morris was choked out in his bathroom from a police chokehold. I mean, we can go and talk about these instances, but that's why we fight. And we rate. If we didn't fight at all, it would be worse. You know, it would be a lot worse. All right.
So we vote just to bring the numbers down. We're still gonna get killed, but just not that many. So that's why we vote. So we don't have that many killings.
No.
Because the way they make, honestly, the way you make me feel is, if I don't go and vote, they're gonna reenact slavery. We're not going to get nothing else, but we got to go out and vote so we don't go back to slavery. But everybody else can get something. But that's what it makes me feel. We don't vote, we're going to go back into slavery.
First of all, slavery is still here. They called it slave wages. And then second, their slavery is practiced in prison. And the overwhelming majority of Black people are in the prisons. So slavery is still conditioned. They said they got rid of slavery everywhere except for prisons. And so, and there's slavery going on the continent of Africa right now by Arabs, by people from Sierra Leone and from Liberia, and at the same time enslaving them. They're Black, they're whites. They found a couple couples here that kept people captive and worked them for free in the United States. Kids and all of that. So, like, there's a law against drugs, but that don't stop people from selling them and dealing them and growing them and making them. There's a law against slavery, but that don't stop people from imposing slavery on people. You know, I mean, some people enslave their own children, you know, starve them, tie them up. But we fight for justice, and we fight for freedom, and we fight because it's a continuation of our historical fight that brought us this far. We can talk about our personal achievements, but they didn't come without struggle. We wouldn't be where we are, none of us, as far as education, as far as ownership of homes, as far as making good salaries, if it wasn't for struggle. You know, A. Philip Randolph said that when he met with one of the presidents and told him all that we wanted. Then the president said, now go out and make me do it. And you do it with pressure, as pressure group. You do it with boycotts. You do it with voting. You do it with various issues. So the struggle continues. If you see life that way. Some people are comfortable in their own oppression. You know, I mean, they get comfortable and they don't think there's nothing worth fighting for, because when I eat, the whole world can eat. You know, and when, you know, I can buy what I want, go where I want. You got Black people going to Europe, spending vacations in Europe, you know, and in the islands, the Caribbean. And that's a good thing. They should, if they got the resources to do it. But at the same time, they should support those that are struggling, that keeps them in the position that they're in. All right, Doc?
Okay.
All right. Linda, do you have any comments?
No, I don't have any comments at this time, but it's so interesting hearing. Just, I'm listening and learning as usual, but I'm loving it.
All right.
I can add to it is, I mean, I know mine is not as strong as yours, and I tell people all the time, your vote is your voice. And that's the strongest I can come, but I like what you all are saying because it's coming from different perspectives, and that's all I have to say.
Just to make, let's make it happen. What's happening?
Hey, greetings. So, yeah, I think it's important to exercise that right. I know it is frustrating because we are in a broke system, so it's definitely challenging feeling like, you know, maybe your voice or your vote may not count, but definitely on a local level, you know, it means a lot. You know, as an educator, I deal with a lot of local educational agencies don't have the participation from the families and the communities that it services. And so therefore those communities tend to always miss out. They're missing at the table. Because they don't feel like their voice matters or their vote matters. And then their table is always empty. Their children always are suffering because no one's there to make decisions. And then you have other people making decisions for those empty spaces. And so I think that it is important to exercise every opportunity we can to make change and, you know, small or large. Even in my own personal family, I have family members that they're not going to vote. You know, they're just not going to vote because they don't feel like it's worth their time. And so I just know a lot of people's lost life. There was a lot of bloodshed for that opportunity. And so for me, in terms of honoring my ancestors and the work that they put forth and the sacrifices that they made so that it could be better than what it was, therefore I'm obligated to exercise the right because I still have my arm, my leg, and my arm head. And so therefore I should do what I need to do to make my voice known as much as I can. So that's what I'd like to contribute.
Yeah, like the people say, if it don't mean nothing, then do it. You know? Because it do mean something. They wouldn't fight so hard to suppress, to throw out, don't count, to intimidate Black people from voting. As Joe Hembrick can tell you about, you had to count jelly beans in a jar and tell them how many was in there. And you had to pay a poll tax. So, you know, even if you don't think it'll work, a lot of your leaders think it will. Brother Mashenda, do you want to comment? Should Black people vote? You there, Mashenda? Okay, but yeah, there he is.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think it's a good idea. You know, just to be active in the, you know, from a community level. And, you know, like Sister Making Happen said, you know, local elections in particular have a direct effect on, you know, what's going on in the community. And, of course, the state level as well, you know, it has, you know, but at national as well, you know, but, you know, it's been a struggle for people to trust the system, you know, so it's a lot of rebuilding that needs to be done. You know, there's a lot of people, like you say, still struggling, you know, not giving up the fight, but, you know, it's definitely, we got a lot of, a lot of purchasing power as a Black race, you know, in this country, but, you know, getting people together to, you know, like, you know, back in the 60s and the 50s where, you know, there was unity and things like that, you know, so I think there's a lot of active divisiveness going on, you know, a lot of, but, you know, we can't allow that to stop us from, you know, trying to progress. But, you know, I talk about social media, you know, there's so many platforms of different ideologies out there that, you know, as we move forward, it's becoming more and more difficult. But we can't give up the struggle. But yeah, it's a good idea to participate civically and consciously, and whether it's at a school board meeting, city council meeting, you know, because we can sit back and say, oh, well, the schools are bad or something's bad. But if you're not showing up, you know, voicing your opinion and mobilizing, you know, trying to be a part of the mobilization of people to try to make change, then it's not making any sense listening to that, you know. So, but anyway, yeah, it's a good idea.
Hey, thanks, Machine, because, you know, most people associate politics with money and money with politics, and they're inseparable. And as the good doctor was saying, they're inseparable. And that's true. And you know, but organized, educated, and well-grounded and conscious people can get around that. People power will always supersede economic power when they are mobilized, organized, and they confront. But this is why boycotts work, even though it was a year in Montgomery with Martin Luther King. The boycott broke the European down to the point that he had to concede and allow blacks to sit on the bus. And as Martin was saying, think about not buying it and owning your own bus company. But when you couldn't even sit on the bus, you didn't even think you could own a bus. But those are the issues. Brother Joe, you have a comment on should we vote? Brother Hembry?
Yeah, well, you know, I think we should, but I don't think, I think we kind of got it twisted in that situation. We don't vote as a block. That's our problem, according to specialists like Claude Anderson and folks like that. You know, and as far as how we've progressed, I think we've kind of degressed myself, seeing that things we used to own and operate back before we got, quote unquote, so successful. We owned things, we owned stores, we owned hotels, we owned movie houses, we owned brick yards, we owned lumber yards, and things of this nature. And it's sort of said that we gave that up to sit next to white people and eat a hamburger in a restaurant or something when we had our own restaurants and water fountains. I don't like drink behind no white folks no how. I know how nasty they can be. Use the bathroom, don't wash the hands, then go to the water fountain. I wouldn't want to drink out the sucker. But anyway, like I said, until we are able to protect ourselves when we deal with this wolf out here in sheep's clothing, I think we got too much ceremonial stuff instead of building some things to get back to where we were, like, you know, Greenwood and all that. You know, folks wasn't voting and stuff like that, so to speak, but they owned things. They were building. And I think we kind of got away from being focused on that, from suffering from what I call the illusion of inclusion. Just had a black president. I heard you commenting on that. And, you know, what did he do? You know, everything but except for his own people, when he had the power, like his second term, you know, he could have just wrote some, you know, just signed some legislation that would have helped us. And he ain't do nothing from Chicago, where he was from. All the violence and stuff there. So, you know, folks getting these political positions and we think they're going to do something, and it's always something stopping them along the way. If it ain't whatever the president, you know, presents, you got to go through the House, got to go through the Senate, and then the Supreme Court can jam it. Now, you see how that's fixed up now. They can term anything unconstitutional, you know what I mean, and stop something. So I'm not saying not, you know, about not voting, vote, okay, but, you know, we need to have a plan. And all this, you know, I know a lot of people sang and marched and all that, but I'm from the other side. Sometimes you got to stop singing and start swinging. you know, to back some things off of it. Like, they're killing us. You know, the rate that they're killing us, if any time that happens, if that white person turned up dead, that stuff would slow down. It probably won't stop, but it'll make them crack a second guess before they do it again. But, you know, we don't have nothing like that in place. That's why I say we need a mile revolution. We'll quit all the talking and marching and singing and playing in secret and get some things done. Because we've been in this cycle for how long? You know what I mean? So that's just my thought on it. You know, I was a victim of that myself, the police killings. I said it on the show a couple of times. You know, they killed my father when I was 10 years old on a mistake, some bullcrap. So, you know, I'm just of the other frame of mind that this stuff ain't. Clay is working, say we're progressing. We got a few jobs and this and that. But for the most part, the majority of our people are not doing well. And, you know, they're filling up the prisons. The kids coming out of school can't read and write. You know, you can go in your community, you can't buy nothing, you know, for nobody to look like you. Other than some dope or get your hair cut or your hair done, you know, can't even buy a hamburger from a brother hardly no more in the city. So, you know, until we start to produce some things and get some skills to these kids where they can earn a living, to stay off the street thing, in the words of the good doctor, it's just gonna keep on happening. And we got to come up with some heart. We still fear the sting of the lash. Remember when Malcolm said, if you got to go, make it even, Steven. You know what I'm saying? But we ain't got that kind of heart no more. And the ones that do have it is locked up in the penitentiary. So that's just my spiel on it. Peace.
Yeah, I mean, you made some good points. Everyone has made good points. The struggle continues, and we'll get to some of these perspectives in a minute. Rashiki, what's your position?
Well, I vote, and my family votes. We sit down and discuss it, and, you know, we try to vote where it's going to benefit us and, you know, the community. I think you said something very important. You said, you know, first you always say that the struggle is protracted and long, which is no doubt. And you do need strategy. You need to come up with strategies. And that, I think that's what some people are doing. And with the continuous education that we're receiving on a weekly basis, I think that's helping a lot. And so we just, and one more thing, we can look at things collectively or individually. Some of us are able to do some things individual because of the ability to overcome a lot of things that other can't overcome by being a leader for yourself and making good decisions. But we have a lot of sheeple people. That means that they need some type of direction. And that's why we're here to provide that. And I think it's a blessing that we have who we have around discussing these issues. So you can continue, Professor Rob. Thanks.
Yeah, and, you know, what you say, you know, I remember that in 1982, I started a petition to recall Vandy Camp because of the Ron Settles killing in Signal Hill. But in order for me to sign my own petition, I had to register to vote, because this is in 84. And Me too. And I wanted to vote for Jesse Jackson and Mayor Tom Brady. He may have been 82 when he ran for it. It's you know, I was of the mindset of a good doctor, and you know, I never saw my parents vote, you know, so it really wasn't instilled in us coming up. You know, like, you don't vote, you don't eat. Voting is very important. My parents wasn't a part of the civil rights movement. They ran from oppression from Louisiana to California by way of D.C. and a couple other places. My father was a laborer. But, you know, he didn't even finish the third grade. My mother finished the sixth grade. So they weren't conscious. They weren't conscious enough from that standpoint. Hold on for a second, because my daughter's sick. Just a minute. Yeah, I'll come right back.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to go ahead and share this clip, because we're going to talk about, oh, he don't want me to do that. Okay, so Brother Hendrick, you want to talk until Rock come back?
Was that clip you talking about from Hebrews the Negroes?
Oh, it's dealing with that, but Rod didn't want me to start right now. You got to unmute, Rod.
I helped start BAPAC in Linwood, Black American Political Association. But BAPAC was started because Willie Brown was mad at the Black Caucus in Sacramento that didn't support him as much as he wanted to be Speaker of the House. So that's how BAPAC got started. Everybody know that. But, you know, and then I went to my first Black political convention. And I had lunch with John Brown. And if you watch Eyes of the Prize, John Lewis, he said he loved Chinese food. He took the whole Compton Unified School District to Mr. K's, a Chinese restaurant in Washington, D.C. during the Congressional Black Weekend that they have every year. It just passed out. And they have workshops, and they have speakers, and they have issues discussed at that Black Caucus Weekend put on by the National Black Caucus. And it's sponsored by mostly whites. Give them money to rent hotels, to rent restaurants, and do all kinds of things. Anheuser-Busch, they have a big convention stadium, and all the sponsors have booths, and it'll blow your mind. It's becoming political conscious requires you to become politically educated. And then once you become politically educated, then you can understand why things are the way they are with regards to the struggle that our ancestors put forth. One of the reasons we vote is because it was a hard-fought right that we won. They didn't just say Black people can vote. It was struggle, serious struggle. And they did have the Deacon for Defense. The Black Panther Party was a Black Panther Party for defense. They, H. Rapp say, if you don't arm yourself, you're going to harm yourself. So we pushed guns. The Nation of Islam, there were a lot of Muslims that took hand, broke away from the Nation teachings, and just started shooting and killing. The organization of us was well-trained, well-organized. So there have been political organizations. The Republic of New Africa, they had Africa Town, they had land in Jackson, Mississippi, where Chokwe Lumumba's son is now the mayor. All this came through struggle. Chokwe died of a heart attack, just like Harold out of Chicago. A lot of times we look at the violence and we want to know, how do these people get these guns? Not Dr. Clark, but Ernie Smith, PhD, pediatrician, did a documentary on how a train was left unguarded on Alameda, down from Imperial Courts, full of guns, and was unguarded. And black people and people broke in and got guns. There was a situation in Compton where the military depot, military armory, was broken into and got guns. My point is that the violence is seasoned with drugs, alcohol, and gang warfare from that standpoint. But all of that is trained. You don't learn these, you don't come out the womb shooting at each other and fighting each other. This is something you learn as you come up. Now, getting back to politics, when I was arrested and put in prison for 10 days, really, but I did 90 days, majority was in the county. Most people believe I did what they said. They never came to court. I didn't do none of it. It was a political imprisonment because we put on Kwanzaa. We had a black agenda for the city of Compton to get people to move to it, not from it. Where they had that shopping center on Alameda, we was going to put up houses, a gated community with a charter school from elementary to high school. And 50% of the money that came from the sale of the houses went back to the city to hire people, young people with felonies. And that was our plan. And then the county said, no, you ain't going to do that. We got the Alameda Corridor coming through here. And then the DA, they got mad because a deputy DA was a Compton policeman. And we voted to get rid of the Compton police, not because Omar Bradley said that we need to get rid of the city manager. At that time, showed us the facts and the figures of all the money that we paid the police department. And they only had 5 cars out on the street. And when there's a murder, they can't even respond to other people. I mean, I'm just telling you the truth. And Jews ran the Compton Police Department. White Jews. When we got ready to vote against it, Herb Rubin came down and spoke on behalf of the Compton Police. Only 50% of the police were black. But, I mean, people don't know the behind the scenes. But they actually believe that they told us that you can't go to jail for a felony and be in prison unless you have a mens rea that you had to prove that we intended to break the law. And the judge ruled, who was a pro-Compton police and a racist and a cowboy hat, threw all that out. Then no, you don't. This is a general intent crime. And there's no excuse. So the city manager approved all my expenditure. What did they do? Arrest the city manager and put him in prison. I'm just telling you, but I'm not whining because, hey, I know there's going to be torture and that's the price you pay. But we had Kwanzaa for 4 years when I was on the council. We had a lunch for citizens to come and discuss issues every Saturday. Every Saturday, a free lunch. And still operated a free tutoring program at Compton College. So and opened up the gym 5 o'clock a.m. You know what they did? They sent detectives into the gym because my political enemies say I was dealing dope and pimping. They had an investigation. I got the report. I shared it. They said, oh, they stayed in there 2 weeks. They say, oh, ain't no dope being sold and ain't no prostitution going on. But I'm in raw. Just shoot basketballs. Rasha Key used to come and shoot. That's all he do. But he'll sell out for some tennis shoes and a sweatshirt and recommended the DA file charges on. I'm just telling you what happened. But people don't understand because I understand politics. And the city council approved the police to do that because I was running for office. But that's not the issue. The issue is voting. Because one, it's hard-fought rights that we won, a victory for civil rights. Second, that policy, as make it happen, said, are local, school board, city council, county supervisors, people in the water district, judges. The majority of Black people elected the office of judges. But they don't put their race down. They don't even campaign. They don't even tell you what party they're affiliated. And that's why some white folks end up voting for Black people don't know it. But anyway, I mean, there's so much we have to learn. We are infants when it comes to politics. Because there's a difference between power and influence. As the good doctor said, most of our politicians operate on influence. White folks with minority rule, because Brother Henry could tell you that white folks are the minority in the world. When they was in South Africa, they ruled South Africa, they was a minority. They have the most money and the most weapons. Russians are white. And many Jewish people that practice Zionism, the Jews that are in power are white. Jewishness is a religion. But when Whoopi Goldberg said, well, you know, that was whites fighting whites. The Jews took her off the head, suspended her, said, no, it's a racist. How is this a racist shit? When Germans and Jews lived with each other and you couldn't tell them apart. You couldn't tell them apart. But the issue is we need to vote because it was one, hard-fought rights that we won. Second, our interest is in local politics as well as national politics. Who's going to represent us in Congress? But that was a hard thought about. Because look, the first people that voted, you couldn't vote in this country unless you was a landowner. But then, it was years before some Black people had land that was left to them by their slave master or that they saved up some money and purchased. Before, just look up the first Black that voted. Look at the first Black that held office. Iron Reed and all of them, brother. They were appointed before they went to national elections and district elections. United States senators and Congress people were appointed. And it was a fought battle to open it up for people to elect their own representatives. That's where taxation without representation came. So yeah, that's it. Our interest is in voting as a continuation of the struggle. And the operation of this system influence means you know somebody that can get something done. That's why we say you got the juice. You got the juice with the white folks. You got the juice. Power is your ability to hire them yourself or do it yourself. Power is a social capacity to realize your will in opposition to others. So white folks enforce their will on us, no matter how much we try to say, you shouldn't do these things. But things are opening up. More young people are being educated. You know, that whole Ferguson thing was young people. And more young people are becoming politically savvy. Not enough, but more are, especially in Black people. So there's Black colleges and the Black sororities and fraternities are becoming more conscious. So we vote for our interests. We vote because it's a hard-fought right. And we vote in opposition to our oppressor, who is voting for things that limit our ability to function. They pass laws. Here they are passing school board laws in white areas, throwing out books, burning books, telling you what you can read and don't read. A critical race theory. We got, yeah, as Joe said, we got to be organized. As a good doctor said, happening, and then we got to struggle, continue to struggle. Now, you don't have to. Only those that are willing. Work with those that are willing. Those that don't want to be involved, bear that right. If you feel that it's all over with, and we ain't gonna never do nothing, ain't gonna never be nothing, ain't gonna never have nothing. Go ahead. But you got to explain how we got as far as we got and how you got as far as you got. Don't you owe it to your ancestors to continue to struggle? Because without their struggle, you wouldn't be where you are. You wouldn't have the titles, you wouldn't have the money, you wouldn't have the prosperity, you wouldn't have the education. There's a law against educating us. A law. No, they can't go to school. But we fought and we won that battle. Oh, now you can say, well, hey, we ain't where we should be. Well, who is? You understand? That's the struggle. All right, Roger Key, we're going to, unless somebody have a response. We're going to go to Kyrie and...
One response. Now, is it fair to say that, Professor Ra, looking back at then, the voting issues, compared to now when you have all these other groups vying for resources? Because, correct me if I'm wrong, like I said, I'm not a historian buff. I don't know nothing. Like I said, I voted the first time when Obama ran it because that was a motivation. Black man running, that's the first time I ever voted in my life when he ran. That's when I started voting. It was a motivation. But is it fair to compare back then when you fought for the voting issue compared to now? Because back then, I don't think you had Hispanics, Indians, Asian, there are all these groups in there. Fly for resource. It was just us. And I think we got a lot done back then. Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know. It was just black and white. It wasn't like now. So is it fair to say that, man?
Well, first of all, the Native American was our first ally. That's where the word Seminole comes from. Runaway. They hid many black people during the Holocaust of enslavement. And we married and had kids. That's why you have dark Native Americans. They were our first allies, and some continue. We supported Wounded Knee. We supported their struggle. And we say that they are the first and the most, lost the most. You are talking about close to 7 million down to about 300,000 or 400,000 living on reservations. And the European act like he didn't even do that. You understand? So we are in partnership. And matter of fact, we've had meetings with Native American Culture Center. And we develop powwows and we develop relationship and interest. The most progressive. They have some conservative Native Americans that go with the white folks, but there are others that work with blacks and work with Latinos. As Joe Hember could tell you, a Mexican is a descendant of the Native American. That's what Mexican means, mixed. Do you understand? And they know that. And they got dark Mexicans that are discriminated by white Mexicans. Mexicans are descendants of Native Americans. When Spaniards came over here, mixed with the Native Americans, had babies, and wouldn't take them back to Spain, because Spain is in Europe. That's why Mexicans speak Spanish. Spanish is not their natural language, and English is not our natural language. We speak English because we was held captive, and that's the language we learned. And they speak Spanish because they were held captive. Matter of fact, some of the first people that brought was participating in the Holocaust enslavement were Spaniards. You understand? And, you know, I mean, that's history. Then we have alliance. We work with the Brown Berets. Brown Berets were located on Rose Crans and Woodbrook. There was a little building there, and that was their headquarters. They had joint meetings. They had a Latino civil rights movement when Corky Rodriguez and some of them were killed by the scare. Indigenous Nation in East LA. There was a fight. We supported them in their fight to make East LA its own city. We never got it, but we supported it as Black organization, tried to push that, but the county wouldn't let it. But the other thing is that, you know, there are many progressive Latinos. Many of our families are married into the Latino family. The way you tell the people get along with themselves and with other ethnic or racial groups is, are they married? Are they having babies? Are they working together on projects? And do they have a mutual respect, mutual benefit, and a sense of a mutual support? From that standpoint, for many issues. Now, you have some Latinos come from El Salvador, Nicaragua. They collaborate, like what happened in Los Angeles with racism in City Hall, where they were dealing with redistricting. The union represents president of the union, and three council people, two council people and the mayor. And the mayor was talking about blacks think they got a call. And they were talking about a white man who had a black child, him and his gay lover. They adopted a black child. And they were talking about how they treated that child so bad, like a little monkey, and this and that, and this and that. We got the tape. We'll play the whole tape of the conversation. These were Latinos that did that. But at the same time, there are other Latinos that we lived next to for years. And we get along. But this was about political, as the doctor was saying, we're fighting for social space, economic space, and opportunities that the white folks put out there to make us fight over. Like dogs fighting over no meat on it, just a bone. And so that happened. But we've had alliances with Latinos. Martin Luther King is the one that brought Cesar Chavez to a prominence of going to visit him. And matter of fact, if you deal with Kwanzaa, to show you our solidarity with Latinos. When you put out the fruit, you don't put grapes out. And they say, well, why don't you put grapes out? Because Cesar Chavez called for a grape boycott back in 1967. And we decided that we would not use grapes as a part of the fruit for the Kwanzaa. And that's how you don't see grapes in none of the pictures of depicting the celebration of Kwanzaa, which is a 7-day celebration of the Nguzo Saba seven principles that you're supposed to practice year round. Unity, self-determination, work and responsibility, economic cooperation, purpose, creativity, and faith. All those principles that are part of the Kwanzaa. That's where Kwanzaa come from, in Nguzo Saba. And it's part in the African culture as well. But if you don't know it, you listen to white folks, you know. But now it's going mainstream and celebrated in countries all over. But that came through struggle. It grew out of the Watts Rebellion. And that's not where Kwanzaa came from. That's where Nguzo Saba came from. That's where Black people naming their kids African names came from. That's Swahili name. You can check it. I was there. I lived it. I practice. So I know where it came from. We study every Friday and Sunday. The value in the culture center. I've been to about maybe 30 institutes on Kawaiti Institute on ethics and value. It changed my mind, changed my life. And I thought just hating white people was Black. But Kawaiti teach you loving your people is Black. Respecting your people is Black. Caring about what happened to any Black person unjustly. We're against all injustice, but especially when it happened to us. And we don't fight each other. We don't argue. It's best to lose the point rather than lose the person. If they want to go with Trump, I ain't going to argue. Okay. Maybe one day we can have a civil conversation. But you go ahead on. You understand? Because you're my brother and you have the right to vote for whoever you want. You know? And that's the struggle. All right. You ready to go with Kyrie? Unless somebody else ever responds. All right. Go ahead, Ms. Joe. We can't hear you.
Who are you talking to?
Did you want to say anything?
Well, it's really on a whole different plane of where we need to go. You know, do we get into some? Well, no, I just let it go because this is kind of far out there. I'm just getting into it myself, but I know this way leaves a lot to be desired. We got to get into ourselves for ourselves, and I know all these alliances we talk about, but we ain't got no friends out there. And the people that do donate the money, that do what we do, they end up being in control in the decision making. Even up to the NAACP, started by white folks. So, you know, it's enough of us. We got enough money if we would focus on, you know, putting it together to do something. Then, you know, we got action in my regard. But, you know, I do vote. And it ain't no big deal. But the people that get in there to get, you know, to get elected and the folks that put up the paper for them to get there, then they're beholden to them. Like, for example, I was talking to somebody today with this other boy running for mayor. What's his name? Rick. Got Snoop and all them vote for him. This man that invested probably $100 million now of his own money to get a job that only pays $243,000 a year. But you're going to invest $100 million. So, you know, it's just senseless. What is his plan once he get in there? And he done paid these Negroes to endorse him. They're all out there. I'm voting for Rick. You know, And I'll just end it with this, just like my boy Kaleem Akil used to say, when it comes to politics, truth ain't nothing but a word that rhymes with Baby Ruth. But let's go on to Kyrie. I want to hear. I've been trying to listen to that video. I can't get it up. Somebody needs to mute them.
Man, why did you come here? They said no. Don't try to
read
me.
I don't know.
Who is that coming through this? Coming through. So anyway, let's go on to the Irving thing.
All right. Go ahead, Rusty.
All right, I have a clip here that I heard today that I thought was interesting by Kwame Brown. So I think all of us will find it. I think we'll find it. We'll see. So here we go. Let me share the screen.
It's by who?
It's Kwame Brown. Here it is.
Okay.
You can't hear it.
Oh, I got a. Aaron, I got to enable the sound. I didn't do that. Share the screen and share the sound. Okay, there it goes. Go back a little bit. Few seconds.
Has anybody looked at the video? The documentary
going on with Kyrie Irving
from Hebrews to Negroes.
We like to go against the grain here.
No.
But here we go. This is Kwame. It's just about 3 minutes long
on this show. So, currently, what's going on with Kyrie Irving? I mean, we could drop our perspective on it, but I would like to hear yours in regards to what he's currently going through. We see what he went through last year with that whole situation. We ain't even going to bring that up. And now we see what he's currently going through, referencing a movie that he spoke about being a part of his heritage when he went and researched his name and what it meant. He went and typed it into Amazon. This movie came up. He felt a connection to it. He shared it. And now we're here with all this mess. He's being called an anti-Semite as well. What's your thought on that, being a part of the NBA, knowing that circle, knowing how that situation works and what they're doing to Kyrie Irving right now? What's your thoughts on that?
Kyrie is too outspoken for how popular that he is. That's the long and short of it. You can see with the whole jab thing with the vaccines, they attack Kyrie because he has a connection to the kids. He's this grandmama thing. He did what Larry Johnson did. Larry, what's the little character he plays, Uncle Drew or whatever? These kids love him in a different level. So anytime you have the masses that listen to you, that's going to be a dangerous thing. They only want to utilize that for what they want to utilize it for. If you notice, basketball has become more political. And as long as you say a certain thing, we don't want you to shut up and dribble. But if you don't say a certain thing, you're going to have to shut up and dribble, or they're going to take your money.
For sure. So ultimately, we see a lot of people, even Kanye West, you know, it's like when they speak up. And what I said was, I said, why don't they engage what Kanye West actually said? Mm-hmm. They're scared to kind of engage what he really said because it was truth to it. They keep saying he's crazy, he's that, he's that. So kind of tied it into the Kanye West situation as well. How do you feel about that? You know, people calling him anti-Semitic.
Well, see, I'm not really, usually they put labels on things to cut the conversation off. So it's not surprising that they not dealing with the context of what he said, but they put a label out in front of it. But I'm not educated on what's anti-Semitic and what's not. But I just asked the question with the whole Kanye thing, why won't they just debate him? Why won't they just talk to him about it and just have it in an open forum instead of silencing someone or taking away all their wealth? To me, you almost proven his point.
Real talk.
Absolutely. Now you also brought up Brett Favre, and we've heard about it, and then we haven't heard about it. It came and it went fast as shit. I mean, we've been focusing on Kanye now Kyrie, and everything else is going on to entertain us and distract us. But the fact of the matter is, this man had a very illegal act going on where he embezzled millions and millions of dollars of money and gave it to somebody else and took it from somebody else, our people in particular. What's your thoughts on that?
I mean, I know he's sitting back happy because he know that we don't like each other. So, you know, you don't see Do you see the white media attacking Brett Favre like most people are attacking Kanye?
Nope.
I mean, it's almost like they're dragging Kanye's peers out to all, like, not stand next to him, get away from him, disavow him, and call him, you know, crazy. They're just lining guys up to do it. They didn't do that to Brett Favre. And that's the thing with us. We just don't stick together. We spent $1 trillion last year. You can't cancel Kanye if black folks stand behind him. If we buy his products alone, you can't cancel him. But the thing about it is that they make sure we cancel each other.
Yeah.
We cancel each other, you know. Same way that the Asian stores, you know, they can, you know, treat our women crazy. I've seen it online where they treat our women crazy. They go right back and shop with them as if black women can't do nails or we can't do our own nails. Like, I don't know. It's always seemed like we got to outsource our money in order to get better quality.
Okay. That's what I wanted to share. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Brother Doctor, you have any comments on the Kyrie and Kanye West issues of being anti-Semitic? What's your position on that? You were saying that they breaking him.
Just like you just kind of said here, I mean, Kyrie doesn't own the team. He worked for someone. I mean, we all worked for someone. You can't come in and talk all this mess and you're working for someone. It's not your company. Now, I can understand if it was his team, his league, and he watched the video and they come out, but you know, like I said, I was all down for it. And, you know, I sit back here and think about it. They all work for someone, man. So I'm pretty sure they got policies, procedures, stuff you can say and can't say. You just have to follow that, man. Unfortunately, you have to follow someone else's rules. So I don't see a big controversy. You know, they told me, you know, it's not his team. So, you know, what can you say? You don't have freedom of speech for somebody else's company. You know, he doesn't like, if he wants to watch this movie, he quit and watch the movie. You know.
Okay. Okay. What about you, Big John?
When they was asking a question on the show about standing behind, you got to understand that the people he allegedly offended own mass media. Okay, let's get that out the way first. They own the whole institution. So that means they control it. I think both of those brothers need to study more to know exactly what they're talking about and what they're promoting when they talk. He said he was just learning his history and all of that. I gotta look at it. I'm supposed to be reviewing it to discuss it with someone, but I can't get it. I don't have that Amazon Prime. That's what it's on, but it's called from Hebrews to Negroes is what the documentary is. And Kanye, I had to find out what that term meant that he was using. But from what I understand, that term means it's kind of like a 187 against Jews. From what I understand, if somebody knows different, they can correct me. But, you know, both of them brothers, like when I was a classroom teacher, you know, they get offended, called about anti-Semitism and whatnot, because of the Holocaust and all of that. And I tell them, well, you know, what about your own Holocaust? Well, you lost 100 million and they lost 6. The Native Americans lost access to 50 million and they lost 6. But the one with the 6 got control and the power. So, and finance. You know, the ships when they did us. So I don't know if that's what the movie is talking, the documentary is talking about or not. I got to view it. But I don't know about that brother, but he's about to lose a whole lot of money. Know that, both of them. So you kind of got to know. And for those who don't know, you need to ask Arsenio Hall. That boy can't even get a commercial now. He had the number one show in the country, number one talk show in the country. He did something against their witches by bringing Farrakhan on the show. They told him not to do it, and then broke him down. So, you know, it is what it is. So you just got to know when to hold him, when to fold him, when to walk away, and when to run. And I guess Kanye made a statement about they can't do nothing to me. They can't take nothing from me. Talking about Adidas. Well, he don't have that Adidas contract no more. You know. But anyway, that's my comment on it.
Okay, Rasha Key.
I don't, man. It's like the same old story, you know. I think Brother Doctor made a good point. You know, I don't know if it's in their contracts or whatever, but yeah, you have to be strategic, I think, in what you're doing. And if you want to keep the type of money that you're making, that they create, because the money system is created and ran by them, you have to play along with them and what they, you know. And then, you know, I guess when you retire, then you can be outspoken. It's man, I don't have much to say about it. You know, Kyrie Irving is a basketball player and a tremendous skill. And Kanye is, I don't know not too much about him because I never had interest in him. Same old story. You know, you buck up against the system, you know, they're gonna find a way to get you. That's all I can say.
Rob, I get it. This is the thing when you deal with them, they own, you know, what you're bucking up against, and they're paying you. So what can you expect? They're like, if you got a gardener and he's cutting your grass, and he's going through the neighborhood telling everybody you ain't jack, and then you fire him, you know, because he's talking about you, and you the one paying him, and that's what it is. They own so much and control so much. You have to watch it. You know, transportation, mass media, law, education, go on, military, go on and on, you know, it's on and on. And so you really got to know what you're doing. Like, you know, he could have been talking about that with his friends, but you're going to post something and put it out there for everybody to see? That's kind of... I have to say that's kind of bordering along a stupidity. And that Kanye guy, every time he opened his mouth, that's all I hear. Talking about slavery was a choice, you know, and all of that. So, but anyway, I'm of a different era. I'm old school. So these new booty guys got to find out the hard way. If you don't want to learn, life will teach you what's happening. So they about to get a lesson.
Good. Let me just say a couple of things and then we're going to close out. First of all, it appears to be selective morality. And what I mean by that, other people have said worse things and done worse things about Jewish people. And they didn't pay the price. Trump, if you Google Trump and anti-Semitism, but they didn't go after his hotel when he said, there are good people on both sides. And they were saying, ain't no Jews gonna replace us. And you know, then they argue, well, you know, he got kid, grandkids that's Jewish, but that's not him. And you know, he got a whole bunch of lying and stuff. You local Jews, you American Jews ain't in support of the Israeli Jews. And y'all better get in line. You understand? I mean try, go right at him. Not only him, other whites. The whole movement of the Gentile against the Jewish. Jews say they the chosen people. They are the chosen people. And using biblical texts to take the land from the Palestinians. And that we're not talking about biblical Jews, because that's what Kyrie was talking about. He's going back to the biblical Jews. And that's what the book was not about Jews. The book was about Black history. And it talked about a lot of issues. They picked that out. The part where the Nation of Islam affected something, called them devils and a few things. But that's only a small part. The majority of the stuff was about Black history. And them knowing, and he didn't say nothing. He just tweeted, y'all need to watch this. And they attacked him as if he said it, especially Kyrie. Now, when it comes to Kanye, or Yee, the guy Ye, he said things. But at the same time, he ain't said no more than other white folks who they don't attack. They don't attack rich white folks. Why didn't they go after Amazon? The movie was number one. It was put together by his brother named Ronald Dalton. Cost him $8,000. He did his own film. He sent it in to Amazon. Amazon put it on. And it became number one. But they don't go after Bezos. You understand? They go after, because that CS is vulnerable. You understand? Selective morality. Second, they want to make Black people the poster child of anti-Semitism. And Joe could tell you, Semitism, that's Arabs are Semites. Many Black, matter of fact, they used to call the Ethiopian the land of Semites. All of that, the Jews try to say that Semite and Jew is synonymous, and it's not.
It's so a language.
It's a language. It's Semitic language. And so the point is that they want to make Black people, because we're the most vulnerable. They can go after us and then change the subject from racism in City Hall, racism in this country. Because we're the most discriminated against people, not the Jews. The Jews try to dominate like they, even when ain't nobody bothering them, they screaming. They got a Jewish Defense League that gets millions of dollars off of other Jews telling them that they're under threat all the time. They don't talk about the Jewish role in the Holocaust of enslavement. They don't talk about how New Hampshire became New York and all that type of stuff. And the role of the Jewish people that owned and financed some of the Holocaust of enslavement. So they want to change the subject from about Black racism to Jewish Holocaust. And as Joe and as the good doctor said, they own the media. So, you know, NBC, ABC, Channel 7, CNN, all of them will tell you, I'm Jewish, I'm Israel. I've been to Israel 20 times. I got a house in Israel. You know, almost every major commentator is Jewish. And the Blacks are either going with a Jew man when it comes down to Lemon, when it comes down to almost all the Blacks that's on CNN. Are dating white men. It's rough, you know.
And Rob, could I interject something real quick on the political side, since you're talking about that too? And this is before the Ukrainian thing, but 80% of the foreign aid that America gives away goes to Israel. Yeah. 80%.
Israel is nothing but a colony of the United States.
That's all it is.
It's a colony.
And I think they scared to fool with Trump and folks like that, you know, because they got the Aryan Brotherhood that'll start smoking folks. And I know they're kind of scared of that, you know, but they got their JDL, Jewish Defense League, and all that. And what a lot of people don't know, the mafia, Cosa Nostra, that, the Godfather and all those folks, the early one, Meyer Lansky and all them cats, they was Jews. But they put out a movie, The Godfather, and everybody thinks they're Italian, a Sicilian, you know what I mean? So we continue to suck up fried ice cream with a dirty straw, but we don't want to take the time to find out what's really going on and analyze and read and research. Like I say, want to hide it from us, you know, to put it in some books, you know. But anyway. Going on, brother. Sorry for interrupting.
And all this stuff about freedom of speech. What happened to Coleman at? The football player. You don't even discuss him no more. That was a big victimization of a brother that just was just standing up for justice. And then a year later, all of them, the women basketball teams, all of them were wearing Black Lives Matter sweatshirts and freedom and justice. Sure. But they still didn't fight for that brother. Take a position on that. And then,
who's the brother you're talking about?
Carmonet. The tall, light brother. Played for San Francisco. He sat on one knee.
Colin Kaepernick. Kaepernick. Gotcha.
Yeah,
gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, this is about reciprocity. You know, we as a people must in many ways, and we got good, strong people. They give good analysis of our issue, and so you have to look at it. You don't have to, but I suggest you just think about it. Even as the good doctor said, "Hey man, you work for these people. Know when to hold them, know when to fold them, and know when." That was the saying out of the South. But that don't make it right. You know, I mean, others can say things and get away with it. You say the same thing and they attack your livelihood, isolate you, put you all over TV. It was just like when Dr. Khalid Muhammad criticized the Pope and said he must be a homosexual. I'd like to look at what's up under that gown he wears. He was speaking to 30 people at a little small college. Nightline put it on television, and that's when millions saw it. The same thing with Kyrie. It was he Twittered to his followers, even if he do have 4 million. But that was his, you know, those are the people that follow him. They could do what he asked or not. But here they are jamming him for something he didn't even say. But they accuse him of being anti-Semitic. And he told them, he said, "Look, I'm not anti-Semitism. That's who I couldn't be. My religion don't allow me to be anti-Semitic. I'm not anti any person. I'm against what people do." You understand? That's what he said. You know, we criticize people. The Jews make you think they're beyond criticism. Some white Jews. Not all of them. Because you got Chinese Jews, Black, Colossian Jews, Ethiopia. Amber could tell you about it. Dr. Ben. John Henry Clark said worse things than that about the Jewish people. Black Book Bulletin came out with a whole book about the Jews back in 1970. But they think they're beyond criticism. No, they're not. If they're doing wrong to the Palestinians, if they're doing wrong to the stores that they operate, people disrespected, if they finance it, anti-African-American interest, then you can criticize them and you ain't anti-Semitic. You're not criticizing religion, you're not criticizing the institution, you're criticizing what they're doing. Now, I agree. Kanye should have said, what Jews or what white people? The Jews and whites are synonymous. You can't tear them apart, especially the Jews, that powerful Jews, the ones that run things. So it's a beautiful concept when you study and when you look at it from a standpoint of justice and righteousness and see the contradictions. The Jewish people talk about what all they went through, but they never talk about what. Have you noticed that they never put a first America veto every United Nations resolution to condemn Jewish people for genocide against Palestine? Second, occupying the Jews, the Zionists, not the Jews, because the people that started Israel weren't Jews, they were Zionists. For the Jews, they didn't even practice it. The most important thing is that the same thing they said that happened to them, they're doing to the Palestinians. I mean, they won't let them get food. They won't let them go to the doctor. They build roads they can't go down. They bomb and they kill their leaders. I mean, what? And the United States veto every aspect. But anyway, we'll get into that later. I just want to say this was a good discussion. I deeply appreciate everybody's comment and that was on tonight. Rasha Key, what's happening Wednesday?
We have Aisha Blanchard Young.
Interview?
Yes, an interview. And it'd be very interesting. She, in the field of social justice, work for the California Teachers Association. So that should be real interesting.
All right. We're going to have Anthony Samad, who used to be president of the Hollywood NAACP. He's now the director of the Merv Dimey Political Institute at Cal State Dominguez and an associate professor of political science at Cal State Dominion. He will be our guest next month.
Okay. So is that it, Professor Ron?
Yes.
All right. Excellent show.
All right.
Each one teach one. In Conscious Corner. Everybody have a good evening.
Good.